Are you familiar with that wonderful verse that people love to quote, Jeremiah 29:11? I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and to give you hope. We love it. We love it. We grab it. It's ours. But do we know the context in which it was said? And do we know how the truths of that verse can become ours? We'll talk about it today. Isn't it interesting how we hear a verse and it strikes a chord in our heart, and it's a dream, it's a vision, it's what we want, it's what we desire, and we grab that verse and we take it to ourselves and we claim the promise, and then it doesn't seem to work out that way. So what do we do? Do we just take the verse out of the Bible and throw it away and say, hey, it doesn't work? God has brought calamity in my life. So that verse didn't promise me that. He had plans for me, for welfare, not for calamity. He wants me to have a future and a hope, and it looks like everything's falling apart. The man I love, the woman I loved, has walked away from me. The child that I invested my life in has turned its back on me, or he has denied me, and he hates me, and he won't talk to me. And then you think, what happened to that verse? We need to understand the setting in which verses are said. What is the context? Because context rules over all interpretation. So let's look at it. We're going to look today at Jeremiah chapter 29. And once again, as we do, we're with this prophecy of false prophets, this prophecy of Jeremiah, a true prophet, and the conflict continues. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1. Now, these are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the rest of the elders of the exile. In Jeremiah 27 and 28, Jeremiah is talking to the people in Jerusalem. He's talking to the visitors also. But here, he's writing a letter to the exiles, to the people that have been taken captive and are living in Babylon, modern-day Iraq. To the priests, to the prophets, to the people whom Nebuchadnezzar has taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. And then he's telling you the timing. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the court officials, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. So it's got 10,000 or more people in Babylon that he's writing to. The letter was sent by the hand of Elash, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And so Jeremiah comes along and he says, hey, I've written something out. I want you to take it to the exiles, okay? Take this letter. And this is the letter. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there, and do not decrease. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, I want you to settle down. They're saying, but this is the land of our captivity. He says, I know, but I want you to settle down, and I want you to seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. and pray to the Lord on its behalf for its welfare. Its welfare, you'll have welfare. I'm to pray for my enemy. I'm to pray for these people that are holding me in exile. I'm to settle down. I'm to act like I'm going to live here for the rest of my life. Yep. And in praying for their welfare, you will get welfare. If it goes well with Babylon, it will go well with you. He says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst. Okay, so they're in exile in Babylon. So he's saying over here in exile in Babylon, there are prophets in your midst and they are prophesying. And he says, don't listen to them. Listen, don't let your prophets and your diviners deceive you. Do not listen. Now listen carefully. Do not listen. Listen carefully to the dreams at which they dream. It's very interesting because there's a footnote in the Bible. And the footnote says literally, do not listen to your dreams which they dream. This is a very solemn warning because many times we go after what we want. Somebody's going to tell us that we can be prosperous. Somebody's going to tell us that we should, God wants us to drive big cars and God wants us to live in big houses and God wants us to have everything no matter what's going on in the economy. Others come along and they tell you, listen, God doesn't want you unhappy. Leave your husband, leave your wife. God wants this for you. And it's dreams that we dream. And so they're giving to me a dream, which I have dreamed, which is my dream. And I grab that dream and I grab a lie. And this is what he's saying. He says, they prophesy falsely to you in my name. You can turn on Christian television and you can see false prophets prophesying to you in the name of God, giving you dreams which you dream and you buy them, but they're not in accordance to the whole counsel of God. They'll have you in Deuteronomy 28 promising you blessings that he gave to Israel and they forget the suffering that it costs to follow Jesus Christ. They forget the cross. They forget Paul saying that I know how to have abundance. I know how to be in need, in such deep need that I am like a beggar. That kind of need. They don't preach the whole counsel of God. He says, for they prophesy falsely in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. You're going to be in captivity for 70 years. Now he told him in Leviticus 26, he told him in the Torah before that, that when you till your land, every seventh year is a sabbatical year for the land and you're not to sow anything on it. And what he's going to show them is, hey, for 490 years, you have not given the land its Sabbath. You owe me 70 years of Sabbath. So I'm driving you off the land and you're going to be in captivity for 70 years because you disobeyed me. Now he doesn't say it here, but if you compare scripture with scripture, it's said and you see it in other places. Listen, God watches over his word to perform it. That's what he told Jeremiah. What do you see? He says, I see an almond tree, and he does a play on words and he says, I want you to know this. I watch over my word to perform it. If they had simply sat down and thought and gone through the word of God, they would have known that they would be there for 70 years. Now, he's saying, you're going to be there. You settle down. In 70 years, I'm going to come and I'm going to visit you. I'll bring you back home. I'll bring the vessels back home, just like I said. But you're going to be there for 70 years. And he says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. I'm not going to leave you in captivity. I'm going to bring you home, but I'm going to bring you home in my time. I know the plans I have for you. I made a promise to you, and that promise God is going to keep. He watches over his word to perform it, as he says in Jeremiah chapter 1. Then you will call upon me. And come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You know, we want God to do our bidding. We want God to fulfill our dreams. We want God to bless us, but we don't want to search for God with all of our heart. We're too busy. Just look at the average man sitting in the church and find out how much he studies the Word of God. Find out how much time he is spending digging in the Word of God. Talk to women. They don't want, sometimes they say, oh, don't do precept, it's too hard. Oh, don't do precept, you have little children. That is a lie from the devil. It's not too hard. It takes time, and it makes you think, and it makes you work. And we don't want to do that because we're not seeking for God and searching for him with all of our heart. We want to live on the fringes. We want to enjoy the world and life, and we have all sorts of excuses. We're not seeking for him with all of our heart. Oh, precious one. He says, if you will seek for me with all your heart and search for me, then he says, I will be found of you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to this place from where I sent you into exile. Now, as you look at this, it goes back to the return of the 70 years, but, what's the but? I'll tell you when you come back.
Years ago, Precept Ministries was born in a little valley in Tennessee, in a barn actually. Since then, it has grown and crossed oceans and borders to 180 countries and over 70 languages. But many people still don't know, what is Precept? Precept Ministries International is a network of people who see the Word of God as essential for knowing, loving, and following Him in daily life. Precept writes Bible studies using an inductive study method so that people can discover the truth of God's Word for themselves, rather than just reading or listening to someone else's thoughts and interpretations. That sounds great if you have the time, right? That's the hard part. The clock running away from us and an endless to-do list. If we let it, not having enough time for the things that matter will define our lives. Precept Ministries wants to walk differently with you, pointing you to Jesus continually. Our mission is for people to be established in God's Word. Precept is for the 9-to-5 workers, the 8-to-3 students, and the 24/7 parents. It's for the people with questions. It's for disciple makers. It's for the church and the community. It's for you.
Welcome back, beloved. Before I go any further, I've got to tell you about Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and to give you a hope. You say, you just ruined that verse for me. Well, I want to tell you something. You can have that verse. You can have a future. You can have hope. You can know that God desires your welfare. But it's only one way that you can have it. And we're going to study that next week. So don't miss it. Don't miss it. You've got to understand the setting. And you've got to understand how you can have a future and how you can have hope. But let's go back to the time of Jeremiah and the time of Zedekiah. All right? We come to verse 15. Because you have said, now this is a very complicated sentence, and I fooled with it, and I fooled with it, and I fooled with it. But he's writing to the exiles. It's a letter. He says, because you have said, the Lord raised up prophets for us in Babylon. God's given me a prophet here. We don't need you. We don't need this letter. God's given us a prophet in Babylon. Now, listen. In Babylon, they've got prophets that are saying to them, hey, you're going to come home. Don't sit in this city and seek its welfare and build houses and plant gardens. Don't do that. But now listen, he starts this sentence and then he stops. And this is what he says. For thus says the Lord concerning the king who sits on the throne of David. So he's pointing back to Zedekiah. And concerning all the people who dwell in this city, in Jerusalem, your brothers who did not go with you into exile. Now, you have prophets, yes, but I want you to stop and I want you to reason with me. I want you to think about the king here. I want you to think about the people that were left in Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I am sending upon them the sword and famine and pestilence, those three catastrophes. And I will make them like split open figs that cannot be eaten due to rottenness. Now, in Jeremiah 25, he talked about those bad figs, the ones that he leaves in the land. I will pursue them with sword, with famine and pestilence. I will make them a terror to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and a horror and a hissing and a reproach among the nations where I have driven them. Let me ask you a question. Yeah, you're saying we've got our prophets, leave us alone. We're going to come back. Do you want to come back to that? Do you want to come back to the sword? Do you want to come back to famine? Do you want to come back to pestilence? He says, because I'm going to do it, because they have not listened to my words, declares the Lord, which I sent them again and again by my prophets, but you did not listen, declares the Lord. Before you say anything, and I know you've got your prophets, but I want you to know that these people are suffering because they did not listen so as to obey God. They've got the sword, they've got famine, they've got pestilence, and they're in this land. They didn't listen. You better listen, exiles. You better listen to the right prophet. He says, you therefore hear the word of the Lord, all you exiles whom I, God, have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning Ahab, the son of Kolaiah, and concerning Zedekiah, not the king, the son of Messiah, Masiah, who are prophesying to you falsely in my name. I know that you're listening to false prophets in exile, in Babylon. Behold, I will deliver those two men into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He will slay them before your eyes. Because of them, a curse will be used by all the exiles from who are in Judah, who are in Babylon, saying, may the Lord make you like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. The king of Babylon loved to kill people that way. He says, because they have acted foolishly in Israel. This is a false prophet. They act foolishly. They have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives, and they have spoken words in my name falsely, which I did not command them. False prophets usually show that they're false by their lifestyle. And I am he who knows and am a witness, declares the Lord. Then there's another letter. There's a letter that Shemaiah, the Nehelite, has written. And he says to Shemaiah, you shall speak. Thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have sent letters in your own name to all the people who are in Jerusalem. Here you are in Babylon. You're writing to the people in Jerusalem. And to Zephaniah, the priest, and to all the priests. And you wrote, the Lord has made you priest instead of Jehoiada, the priest, to be overseer in the house of the Lord over every madman who prophesies, to put him in stocks and an iron collar. Now then, have you not rebuked Jeremiah of Anatoth, who prophesies to you? You're in charge. Why haven't you rebuked Jeremiah walking around with this collar on his neck? For he is sent to us in Babylon saying, the exile will be long. Build houses, live in them, plant gardens, and eat their produce. Zephaniah, the priest, read this letter to Jeremiah, the prophet. So he takes Shemaiah's letter and he says, here, Jeremiah, this is what I received from Shemaiah. And he says, and then God says to Jeremiah, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, send to all the exiles saying, thus says the Lord concerning Shemaiah, because Shemaiah has prophesied to you, although I did not send him, and made you to trust a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am about to punish Shemaiah and his descendants. He will not have anyone living among his people, and he will not see the good that I am about to do to my people. He'll never come back from captivity. He's going to die because he has preached rebellion against the Lord. Do you realize that when a man stands up to speak in the name of the Lord, or when you sit down, so to speak, and you sit down across from someone to counsel them as a Christian, do you realize that if you're not telling them what the Word of God has to say, if you're just giving them the answer to their dreams that they are dreaming and not truth, you are preaching rebellion against God, beloved. Rebellion against God. They are trusting in a lie. And you know what? Rebellion is sin. And the wages of sin is death. You don't want to lead them away from God. You want to lead them to God. Oh, beloved, how vital it is for us to know the whole counsel of God and to hold forth the word of truth in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. You have truth versus a lie. True prophets versus false prophets. You better know what the truth is and live by it. is God's precept for life? What is the standard, the truth that I'm to take away from these three chapters that we've been studying all week? What is the truth that I am to live by? Well, first of all, it's truth. You are to live by the word of God. You're not to live by lies. And the only way that you're going to know truth is to study God's word for yourself. That's the only way. There's so many voices going on in our world today, in this marketplace of the internet and the ideas. And you've got to know truth for yourself. But you also have another commission. I believe it's a charge from God, and I would like to read it to you. It's 2 Timothy chapter 4. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. He's going to judge sinners, and he's going to judge the saved. And by his appearing and his kingdom, he is coming. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke. That means that you're going to have to go head to head, toe to toe with the world. And you're going to have to reprove them. You're going to have to call sin, sin. You're going to have to rebuke them. Sometimes they'll listen, sometimes they won't. It does not matter. You are God's spokesman. You have been given the commission to go into all the world and to preach the good news to every single creature. And so he says, preach the word in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, challenge them, come alongside of them. Do it with great patience. If you get on that internet, do it with great patience and do it with instruction. Don't give them your opinions. Give them the word of God. You say they won't listen to it. Don't be arrogant. His word is alive. It will accomplish its purpose. He says, for the time will come, and it's here, beloved, when they will not endure sound teaching, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they want their dreams fulfilled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Get the gospel out. Fulfill your ministry, no matter what it costs. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. This is the word of life. Live by every word that comes from God's mouth.
Thank you for watching today. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.